So how are y'all doing today? You doing well? I'm glad you're here. I'm glad to be here myself. I think Pastor Van Gelderen is ministering at a couple's retreat. I may be mistaken, but he's ministering away today, and I think that's what it is. So as the Lord brings it to your mind, you can pray for him and for Mrs. Van Gelderen as they're both there. So Mark chapter 14 and the first few verses, the focus of our study today. We're looking at a lady who's named in the Bible as Mary. And Mary in those days was a common name, it seems. Just like today, there's probably more than one person in the building, in the church, this morning named Mary. I would not be surprised if that was the case. And today we're studying Mary, how would I describe her? Mary of Bethany, she's often named. That was her hometown, Bethany. And her sister's name was Martha, and her brother's name was Lazarus. So this is not Mary, the mother of Jesus. It's a different Mary. And also not Mary Magdalene. Maybe you've heard that name in the New Testament as well. This is not Mary Magdalene, Mary of Bethany. And studying a bit of her story here, Mark chapter 14. Okay, why don't we start with prayer, and let's ask the Lord's blessing on the time, and then we'll read a few good scriptures. Heavenly Father, we're thankful to be gathered together today in your name, and we seek to honor you in what we do and say here today. So we ask for your blessing upon the time. And would you meet with us, and would you open our eyes and our hearts, our spiritual understanding, as you did for Mary, studying in this passage. You gave her an understanding of spiritual things that others did not seem to recognize. And would you do that for us today, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I'm going to read the first couple of verses, Mark chapter 14, and then we'll get to our actual story, which begins in verse 3. Mark chapter 14, verse 1 says, "After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him, Jesus, by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people." Now that gives us the background. After 2 days, in other words, in 2 days, the feast day was coming. Jesus would, in fact, be crucified. And so this story that we're about to read is just a couple of days before the crucifixion. And that's what I want you to see here. There's a lot of conflict growing in intensity against Jesus. These religious leaders are mentioned here. They're trying by every means possible to capture Jesus in some private moment and then to try him and put him to death. And that would, in fact, happen in just a couple of days. But in that context, with that in the back of your mind, understand that Jesus goes to a private dinner now, verse 3, and he's going to spend some time with some personal friends. Mary and Martha and Lazarus are described as friends of Jesus. They lived in a town called Bethany, which it was just a couple of miles to the east of Jerusalem. And that's where Jesus was staying overnight during that final week before the crucifixion. And so now they're going to just have some private time together. And then Mary, our focus for the study today, is going to give an extravagant gift to the Savior. So let's read verse 3 now. And 3 through 5. "And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves, and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and been given to the poor. And they murmured against her." Jesus is in the house of a man who's referred to as Simon the leper. If they were all eating dinner together, the man could not have been leprous at that time. So that implies that this man, Simon, used to be a leper, but probably had been healed by Jesus. And that's the context of this story. He's eating dinner in the home of a man, most likely who had been healed by him and was grateful for that. And he's in a situation where there's friends around. His disciples are there. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus were there. What do you know about Lazarus? We know Simon, named a leper, must have been healed by Jesus. How about Lazarus? What can you tell me about Lazarus and his experience? Okay, thank you. See, he had been raised from the dead not too long ago. We don't know exactly, but it had been no more than several weeks before this. Lazarus, raised from the dead. So these are people who know Jesus and they're grateful for him. We're not talking about a situation in which there's Pharisees present who are arguing with Jesus about points of doctrine, or the religious leaders, the chief priests and the elders, who are seeking to arrest Jesus. That's not the case right here. And yet, in spite of all that, you see there's some people present who aren't happy about Mary. They're complaining about the gift that she gave. Let's talk about that a little bit. And would you notice under number one, a gift for the Savior, some questions here for you to answer. Can you help me with these answers, please? How much was that box of ointment worth? The woman is not named. Her name is Mary. She had an alabaster box of ointment. Very precious. And some people were thinking about dollars and cents in that context. How much was that worth? Yes?
A year's income for a rural worker.
Okay, so we start off with, somebody points out it's worth 300 pence, and we have to translate a little bit. 300 pennies, well, in those days, that was something like close to a year's wages, maybe around $50,000, 300 pence. It doesn't sound like much in today's economy, but you have to understand a penny was like a daily wage. So very valuable. Okay. You can write all that down. But let me just comment. There's more to it than that. It's not just it was worth a year's wages or it was worth $50,000 in modern terms. That, I think, misses the point. And when somebody who was present at the dinner said, hey, that was worth so much in dollars and cents, I think that misses the point. How much was that worth to her? I don't know that that question is printed on your paper, but that really is the point. How much was that ointment worth to her?
I would say priceless.
Priceless. Now, I would agree. Why would you say that? Freely she gave. She gave willingly, freely, without hesitation. Her heart was in the right place. What she was giving away here was her whole life savings. Now, I know you've heard other preachers and teachers to make this point, but what she had in that box wasn't just one of many valuable items on her shelf. She didn't just pick one and say, well, I've got all this ointment here. I'll just take one of these and give it to Jesus. This was a mode of savings in these times. When she took all her wealth, all her life savings, put it into this ointment, this very, very valuable. I don't know if you ladies have ever purchased some of these essential oils, like frankincense, a little tiny bit of that. You know how much that costs, these very valuable oils. And even today, very expensive. So a little tiny bit of it. And she had this and... Okay, so she was giving to Jesus all that she had, is the point. Do you see that? Somebody said the true test of generosity is not how much you give, it's how much you have left. So when she gave this, she had nothing left. She gave it all to Jesus. You can't scoop up this ointment after it's been given. You can't put it back in the box. Do you see what I mean? And so, ladies, this morning we need to recognize here's a woman who had her heart in the right place. She had a heart to give, a generous heart. She gave it all to the Lord. Does that remind you of anybody else we read about in the Gospels? It does me. When I read this story, I think of somebody else, maybe a couple of other stories in the Gospels. The widow's mite. Do you remember this story? And that situation happened only about a day before this. Jesus was in the temple. Many, many people were arguing with him and debating with him. And after all that, Jesus was sitting by the treasury where people came by and gave money. The Bible says he observed that many rich gave much money. And then one widow came by and she gave a mite or two mites, which make a farthing. In that case, that's 1/64th of a day's wage. But Jesus immediately noticed her and he said, she has given more than all the rich people gave. How can that possibly be? Because she gave 100%. She gave everything she had, and after she gave that, she had nothing left. And that's the same heart we see evidenced here. Now, here's the second question. How did the disciples present respond to Mary's gift? This story is also told in John and Matthew. You can read the other cross references, but right here, verse 4. How did they respond? That's the disciples speaking. Mark doesn't point out it was the disciples. He just said there were some present, but that's the disciples. It's the only people left besides Mary, Martha, and Lazarus and Simon the leper. It was the disciples talking. How did they respond?
Waste.
Okay, it could have been used for the poor. Yeah. Now, Matthew tells us in his gospel that all the disciples were complaining, but John points out it was Judas especially who was complaining at this time. This point that he made about, we could have given it to the poor, because he was the one who kept the finances for the disciples, and he was helping himself too a little bit. So he was complaining, but all the disciples were complaining. It says they had indignation. Can you imagine that? Somebody gives a sacrificial gift to Jesus, and you're upset about it. They were upset. They were emotionally upset, and then they said it was a waste. Can we talk about that just for a moment? What is a waste? Look at the third bullet point, the third question. The disciples called Mary's gift a waste. Can you ladies tell me, what's a waste? What does that mean?
Garbage, worthless.
Okay. Trash. Put it in the wrong place. Now, they didn't say that ointment was trash, right? It should be thrown out. No, they said it shouldn't be given to Jesus. It should have been given to us. Right? Am I right? Judas right there saying, now that was a waste. You shouldn't have given that very expensive ointment to Jesus. Should have given it to me. I could have managed that better than what you did right there. You poured it on him. It's gone now. That was a waste. One person put it like this, and I think this is really good. Can we think about this phrase? A waste is when you give too much for too little. Let's ponder on that. A waste is when you give too much for too little. So, ladies, is $1,000 a waste? Is $1,000 a waste? $1,000, is that a waste? Well, you see, it depends. If you give $1,000 for something that's really worth $2,000, is that a waste? No. No, you gave little in comparison. But if you give $1,000 for something that's worth $100, is that a waste? Okay. Now, do you see how rotten that is in our story? Mark chapter 14, they said it was a waste of the ointment. She gave too much for too little. She put it on Jesus. No, that's not worthwhile. Do we ever think we're giving too much to Jesus? Putting our time in the wrong place? Putting our efforts in the wrong place? Too much work, too much service for the Lord, not seeing enough results? Too much money? We're thinking in terms of dollars and cents. That's where the waste comment comes from. Mary was not thinking in terms of dollars and cents. It wasn't Mary who said, you know that this ointment was worth 300 pence? Let me point that out. She didn't point that out. Yeah, when we start to think of our efforts and time and our money for the Lord as a waste is when we're thinking about a calculator and a schedule, putting a value on things, a dollar amount, time amount. It's too much time, too much money. Then we begin to think in those terms. And, you know, we have to be honest that sometimes we feel like we're giving too much to the Lord. We don't have that perspective. One of these days, we will actually stand before him, though. We will meet him. We will see him face to face. And at that time, do you think that it'll cross our minds, wow, I gave too much to the Lord? You know, when I was there upon earth and living that mortal existence on earth, that I gave too much to the Lord. Do you think that'll be on our minds at that time?
No.
So Mary was living on a higher level spiritually, where that ointment was something that most people in the world would latch on to and grab hold of and say, whew, put that in a safe place. That is something that you need to hold on to and keep tight track of. Most people in the world would look at it like that. Mary was living on a whole different level. She was living on a spiritual plane where that ointment If she had a chance to give it to God incarnate, she was going to take that chance. Now, she had a chance to do something with that ointment that you and I will never have. And she seemed to recognize that when the disciples did not recognize it. So that final point is interesting. How could we ever come to the place in our life when we think of a gift to Jesus as a waste? But sometimes we do. Sometimes Christian people do. Even the disciples, they were saying, oh, you gave too much to the Lord. I mean, he's special. Yes, we believe that. But you gave too much to him. That was too much. Now, for the sake of time, we're going to move on to number two. Jesus responded not only to Mary's gift, but he also responded to that indignation of the disciples in the next few verses. Let's notice that, please. Verse 5, some of the disciples said, this could have been sold for more than 300 pence and given to the poor. They murmured against her. How do you like that? She sacrifices for Jesus, and there's always that crowd, you know? In every group, in every church, there's always that crowd that's sitting off to the side, kind of complaining about what others are doing for the Lord. And some that are working hard and others sitting going, I don't know, we don't really like that. Some sacrificing and others going, nah, pointing out why it shouldn't have been done. No. And so Jesus speaks up. Verse 6, Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good, but me ye have not always. And that was very true. 2 days from now, he'd be dead and buried. Verse 8, she hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. That's a remarkable response from Jesus. He defends Mary. He tells the disciples, back off, stop the complaining, leave her alone. And he gives several descriptions of what a great thing she had done. Let's talk about the response from the Savior, number two. What was Jesus' response to the murmuring against Mary, specifically in verse 6. Specifically verse 6. What did he say? She's done a good work. Yeah, she's done a good work. So what Mary had in her hands was an alabaster box of ointment. She did what she could. She gave what she had. I don't actually have a box of ointment in my house to give to Jesus. I don't, but Mary did. She looked around the house. She said, this, it's the most valuable thing I've got. I'll give this to Jesus. The application here, gals, is you and I have all got something different. Jesus said she did what she could. We've got to look around our house and see, now what's the most valuable thing, the thing that's closest to my heart, and am I willing to give that up? For every one of us, it's going to be a different alabaster box, but we've all got one. It's that thing that's real close to our heart, is very valuable. We've been hanging on to it for some time. If we gave it up, wow, it might hurt. It might be a little painful. What's Mary going to do now? You see, it's gone. That's her whole life savings. And it's gone. And what's she going to do? I don't know. I don't know what she did financially. I have no idea. The Gospels don't say. The Gospel said she gave everything to Jesus. She had the alabaster box. She gave it up. She gave what she had. So let's think on that a little bit. In my life, it's not literally a box of ointment, but what do I have? What could I give? And I also want to point this out too. She gave what she could when she could. And Jesus remarked on that. She has come to anoint my body to the burying. She did what she could when she could. If she had waited 2 days later, could she have done this? Just 2 days later. Some of us, you know, we're waiting for somebody to force us to do something. I'll give to the Lord when the preacher says I have to, you know, and that's when we really give. We begin to think about sacrifice when we're forced to. There's some teacher or preacher who says, "Why? You know, you should consider. There's a project coming up. You should consider working on that." Well, I guess so if I have to. You know, there's a special offering coming. You really should pray about that. Okay, if I have to. And nobody told Mary you had to. Nobody said to Mary, "You've got to give that." There was no law in the Old Testament scripture, you have to give that ointment to Jesus. Nothing like that. She just wanted to. But what I'm trying to say is if she had waited, she couldn't have done it anymore. She waited just 2 days to say, I'll think it over. I'll pray about it some more. And, you know, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you shouldn't pray over a big decision. But she did what she could, when she could, when she had the chance. Do you recall this? That just a few days after this, Jesus was crucified 2 days later, 3 days after that, he arose. Do you recall there was a group of women who came to Jesus' grave, the Bible says, to anoint his body? Think about this. Ladies, think about this. Very early on Sunday morning, the first day of the week, this group of ladies came to Jesus' tomb to anoint his body. That was their intention. Did they ever do it? That group of ladies who came to the tomb on resurrection morning, they came to anoint his body. Did they do it? They never did. They never did. They never had a chance. Oh, that was their intent, but you understand what I'm saying. I'm not looking down upon them. They were in the right place, doing the right thing, doing what they could, but they never had a chance to anoint Jesus' body. Mary was the only person in the world who ever did, because she acted when she could. She not only gave what she could, she did it when she could. When she had a chance, she didn't delay. She went ahead and gave. All right, now verse 8, there's another question here underneath number 2. How did Jesus describe Mary's gift, specifically in verse 8? The last half of verse 8, how did Jesus describe that? He pointed out that she was doing something. And when he described it in those terms, nobody else recognized it in that way. Jesus said, let me describe what she's doing right now, because none of you seem to see it. What was that?
It's almost kind of like he's prophesying what's going to happen, because she recognized that the time was near.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Yes, Jesus said, she is anointing my body for burial. And in that room, in that comfortable home, at that private dinner party, when Mary broke that box and poured the ointment on Jesus, people could see that and they could smell that. And they could probably hear the glass breaking, or the alabaster, I guess I should say. They could hear that breaking. You know, they could observe all those things. But Jesus pointed out something that was on a spiritual level that nobody there seemed to see. And something I want you to understand here about this story. Mary was living on a spiritual level that Jesus was also living on, and she seemed to be the only one. I skipped over the introductory paragraph. I didn't read it, but at the top of the page, you can see a description there. Jesus had been urging people to serve during his ministry. And not only had he been urging people to serve others, he had been setting the example. And he would continue to do so until 2 days later. He was put upon a cross, and he actually died for the sins of the world. He gave everything he could have given. And it seemed like as much as he urged other people to give in that way, there was only this one woman who had that heart. She was living in a different world, a different realm. She was on that spiritual level. When she gave that gift, it wasn't a question of dollars and cents for her. She was doing something that others just weren't aware of. She was preparing Jesus ahead of time for the burying. Do you think that encouraged Jesus' heart to see that? Okay, there's one woman here who seems to get it. And all the disciples that he had been just investing so much in, they weren't quite there yet. Praise the Lord, they would get there soon enough. But right now, Mary was there. Mary was living a New Testament life, and the others were kind of stuck in the Old Testament ways. She was there already. She was on that level. Why is that? Because she gave all. And it's as simple as that. She was willing to give all, just like Jesus. And when you and I sometimes overcomplicate the Christian life, well, there's a lot of teaching about this doctrine and that doctrine, and people have different opinions. Okay, fair enough. People may have. Whenever you and I, ladies, sacrificially serve somebody, we're living out the heart of Jesus. It really is pretty simple. Yeah, I got to look around today. Is there some way I can sacrificially serve? I can give. I can give for others and do something for somebody else. And that's where Jesus was living. And that's where Mary was living. They were on the same level. So verse 8 is significant. Jesus pointed out something that was on a whole different level than just this earthly realm. Mary, he said, is living there. And that's where I'm living. I'm aware of it. By the way, it's not so surprising. Jesus, for the last 6 months approximately, had been telling his disciples, I'm going to Jerusalem, I'm going to be killed there, and I will rise again the third day. He had been literally, explicitly teaching that to his disciples. They didn't quite seem to grasp it at that point. No doubt Mary had heard the message as well, and she said it's time to give. Verse 9 is so fascinating. Look at verse 9, please. One more time. We're about to wrap up, but what commendation did Jesus promise as a reward? Verse 9, Jesus gave her a reward. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. I just love that verse so much. It's a prophecy. Jesus is prophesying a reward for Mary. Wherever this gospel shall be preached. Let's think about that for a minute. Right now we're studying the gospel. We're reading the gospel of Mark. The good news, gospel means. Good news about what? Well, about Jesus and the life of Christ and his ministry. And Jesus said, anywhere that this message is preached in the whole world, you know what? People will talk about the sacrifice of Christ. You know what else they'll talk about? The sacrifice of Mary. And people will talk about the heart of Christ all over the world, hundreds of years in the future. They'll talk about his heart. You know what else they'll talk about? The heart of Mary. Every place that people preach about Jesus, they'll also mention Mary. Throughout the whole world. What do you mean? Even on the other side of the world? Even in Wisconsin? Yes. Over here in Wisconsin. On the literal opposite side of the world, 2,000 years later, we're still talking about Jesus, and in connection with him, we're still talking about Mary. And Jesus prophesied that. That's her reward. People will remember her forever. They'll be talking about her. They'll be teaching lessons about her, you know. They'll make up little handouts and print them out and pass them around, and they'll take an hour to sit down and open their Bibles together and study the gospel, and they'll talk about Mary. Now that is quite a reward. And I just love it that right now this morning we're fulfilling a prophecy. A prophecy that Jesus gave. Ladies, if somebody came to you and gave an offer and said, listen, if you give your whole life savings to the Lord, people would talk about you around the world and remember you forever. Would you consider that a good deal? I can't speak for you. I would. Sure. Oh, wow, really? Okay. Yeah, all right. That sounds good. I get to give to the Lord and also be remembered, a memorial. Yeah, sounds great. But listen, nobody made Mary that offer. Nobody came to Mary and said, here's an offer for you. If you give up your whole life savings, people will talk about it. Nobody made her that offer. Nobody told her that. Nobody suggested that. The reward came after the gift. You see what I mean? There was no encouragement. Mary, sometimes we're sitting back, we're waiting for somebody to make us a promise of a reward. If you give to the Lord, he'll give back to you. Well, that may be that as it may, but Mary didn't have that promise. She just gave. Wasn't hoping for some kind of big prize or something. No, her heart was there. And as one of you remarked minutes ago, her heart was in the right place. And that's the whole message here this morning. Number three, the heart of the Savior. Mary had the heart of the Savior. She had the same spiritual perspective. She had the same desire to give, a generous heart. She had the same desire for service. Can you see on the top of the sheet, there's a little illustration. Is it clear to you what that illustration is where it says extravagant love? There's a little picture behind that. What is that image representing? Can you tell? I know in the printer, you know, sometimes it's very fuzzy. You can't really see it. As Jesus washing his disciples' feet, and Jesus said at that time, he said, you see me, I'm your master and Lord. You see me serving you in this way. You ought to do that for one another. That's the heart you ought to have, the heart of the Savior. Jesus set that example. But here's Mary, who was right there with him. I see what you mean. So you can see Jesus washing his disciples' feet on the top of the page. You can see the broken box on the bottom of the page, the ointment spilled out, never to be gathered again. That's Mary's heart. She's got the heart of Jesus. Yep. Even without the advantage of the whole New Testament in front of her, nope. She didn't have any of that. She just knew who he was, and that motivated her to give. There's a phrase here somewhere. I'm going to find it. I guess I don't have it in front of me, but I came across it this morning as I was looking this over. It simply said, no gift to Jesus is ever a sacrifice. Now, that's something to think about. No gift to Jesus is ever a sacrifice. Now, on the bottom of the page there, some points you can discuss at your table time. I'll just give you this. That first question, what do we know about Mary outside of this passage? You can look up Luke chapter 10. You can look up John chapter 11. Every time we read about her, she's always doing her best to get close to Jesus. That's something that people say about Mary of Bethany pretty commonly. I've heard more than one good sermon about this. Every time you read about Mary of Bethany, she's always found at the feet of Jesus. She's always getting close to Jesus, close as she can. So I just give you that to kind of prompt the conversation. You and I, we could take a look at our own lives. Where's my heart really when we start to talk about giving to the Lord? Is it a question of dollars and cents? Or is my heart in the right place? I really do want to be generous. Talk about serving the Lord. Is it a question of hours and days and time that I measure? Or do I want to give as much as I can? Comment?
Well, I have a question for you.
Yes. The earliest story we ever read about her is that story about she was sitting listening to Jesus when her sister Martha was serving. That's the first thing we hear.
But she already had the heart to listen.
But apparently she already had that heart to make that decision, I'm going to do. And Jesus said there's one needful thing, and she's chosen that good part. And so that was in that story, the commendation Jesus gave. She serving and working isn't bad either, but she chose to be with me first. Before going to serve.
So, what we know is it
so where that came from, I couldn't say.
An inherent part of Mary.
Yeah, I couldn't say because that's, I'm just trying to direct our attention to what the Gospels actually say.
Right.
That's all we know.
That's the first
point. Yeah. I think it's a good question, but excuse me, even in the pattern of Mary's life, I think it's there's probably an answer to be found there. When we have a lot to do and so many pressures in life, the first thing we need to do is get close to the Lord. And she was in a spot of what we might refer to as devotion. She said, I'm going to take this quiet time first. She was consistent.
Mm-hmm. So
yep, that was always a pattern. Yeah.
What set her apart?
Mm-hmm. Yep, good point. Okay, well, thanks for having me again, and enjoy your study time there.